For those who are joining us online and maybe visitors today or visitors here, I'm Pastor Brian, and it is a joy to be with you this morning. This month at Clay Church, we are diving into the book of Jonah. How many of you, just out of curiosity, how many of you kind of know the general story of Jonah? Raise your hand if you know the story of Jonah. You can raise your hand at home, too. That works as well. How many of you know where to find Jonah in the Bible? Raise your hand if you know where Jonah is in the Bible. It's in your Bible. If you're not sure, it's between Obadiah and Micah, if you'd like to take a look. And if you weren't sure that you could find it, that's okay. That's why God put a table of contents in your Bible. So just feel free to flip to the table of contents. The truth is, most Christians, they know the storyline of the book of Jonah, but they couldn't tell you which prophets Jonah is between in the Bible. And that's okay, because we are learning together. So many of you will know the gist of the story of Jonah. We're so thankful to have Jonah with us this month to tell part of that story. Jonah is told by God to go and do something, but Jonah really doesn't want to do it. So Jonah decides to go the other way, and he gets on a boat with some pirates, and he sails in the other direction. Wait a minute. That's the VeggieTales Jonah. Sorry, not the biblical. Not the Bible story. Anyway, so he's on a boat and he's going the other way, and a storm comes and it rocks the boat, he tells the sailors to throw him overboard, and so they throw him overboard, and then he's swallowed by a whale, and then he lights a candle inside the whale, and then the whale throws him up on the shore, and then he becomes a real boy. Wait, no. No, that's Pinocchio. Sorry. These stories, they all kind of run together, right? Which is why this month we're going to look at the biblical story of Jonah. We're going to dig into the details, and we're going to see what does it teach us about God, and what does it teach us about us? Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you look at the story of Jonah in your Bible, it begins like this. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Then in verse 3, we see Jonah's response. And I want to invite you to help me out here. Look here at verse 3. What does Jonah do after he hears God's instruction? Right? He ran away. Can we relate? The story says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, if we want to know what God might teach us through the story of Jonah, some background about the story is probably helpful. It's worth noting some important things about the story. For one, Jonah's name means dove, or the peaceful one. Right, Jonah, he didn't want to stir up trouble. He didn't want to leave a prosperous, peaceful kingdom and stir things up in Nineveh, and yet that is what God had in store for him. Because sometimes God calls us to do things that aren't comfortable. The second thing that we might note is that Jonah was the son of Amittai. Amittai literally means truth. So in the story, Jonah is the son of truth, and Jonah is called to speak truth to the Ninevites. Only this truth that he's called to share, it's difficult, it's hard to speak, it's hard to deliver, it's hard to face. So instead, Jonah runs. Because sometimes Sometimes the truth is difficult for us. Difficult to face, difficult to speak. Sometimes we want it to look like our truth, and it's not. Which brings us to a third observation about the book of Jonah. All the other books of the prophets of the Old Testament, they all kind of follow the same format. Essentially, it says the word of God came to this prophet, and then the book of the prophet, it lays out all the words that God said. But Jonah is completely different. Jonah is really just the story of Jonah, of the prophet, of what happened to him. And this story, when you really get into it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, everything in this story is upside down. The faithful prophet, who we would expect to be faithful and to follow where God leads, actually runs the other way. And the unfaithful, the pagans, the kings, the powerful, who we would expect to not have mercy and respect and be unfaithful in this story, they're kind and faithful and willing to repent. So why? Why is always a great question. Ask your 2 or 3 year old, right? Why is this? Why is this book so different? And I want to propose an idea to guide us this month through the book of Jonah. Maybe this book is so different because the book of Jonah isn't so much about Jonah or even about God's word to others. I want us to just play with the idea that the book of Jonah is written for the followers of God, the followers of Jesus, for faithful people to really sort of look at Jonah as a mirror of their own lives, to see a little bit of Jonah in us and ask, how then is God speaking to us? And with that insight, let me invite us to go back to Jonah 1 verse 1. Let's start again at the beginning because there's something important in this very first line, right? Jonah 1:1 says, what is it? What came to Jonah? The word of God came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. God is speaking to Jonah. Just as God is speaking to you today. Do you know that? Do you sense that? Do you live knowing that God is speaking to you? Right? God is a God who speaks. God's word will come to you anytime you're willing to hear and to listen. And maybe you're asking today, well, how does God's word come to me? I really want to know what God has to say to me. Well, God's word, it comes from the Bible and reading the Bible together. It comes from prayer and listening for what God has to say. It comes from spiritual conversations with friends. It comes from the Holy Spirit when we're quiet in our own lives long enough to let the Spirit speak to our hearts and to our souls. God's word comes to us and God is speaking. That's the good news. God wants you to hear and to obey and to experience the goodness of life that God wants for you. And even better, God is speaking to you because God wants you to be a part of what He is doing, of what God is doing, because God has a plan and a purpose for you. God has a word for you and your life. My prayer is that some of you will hear this today and you'll hear the word of the Lord in your life right now. And you'll hear from God, I have something for you to do. This comes with a warning, though. Because when God speaks and when we're willing to listen, you may find that the Word of God is going to ask you to do things that are uncomfortable, out of your comfort zone. God may ask you to do things that are really challenging. I think when we really listen to God, we may find God is inviting us to, to imagine things that we don't think are even possible. Right? God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against it. And to get a sense of this, Israel, in the time that Jonah was a prophet, Israel is relatively prosperous and peaceful. Right? And Jonah is in the prophetic circles, probably lives a pretty good life there. But God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is the Assyrian Empire, and it's growing at this time. And it's growing in power, and it's not a friendly place. You know when sometimes in TV shows now, and if you don't watch these, it may even be better, but in TV shows about like ancient armies and stuff, they'll show these awful scenes with heads on spears after somebody has been defeated. They're not just making that up. That actually comes from accounts of what the Assyrians did to their enemies. They plundered and were evil and awful. And these are the people that God is asking Jonah to go and speak to. Right? And can you relate to why Jonah said no? Why leave the comfort of what he knows? Jonah's thinking, why leave the comfort of what I know to go and put my own life on the line for this, for these people? Why try to save an enemy? These people don't even want to have anything to do with God. Why should I follow God's direction to go there? Why should these people, they don't even deserve God's help. Can you relate to Jonah? What if we think about the things God calls us to today? Maybe you will hear today, if you're listening to God, or maybe you have heard God saying, it's time to forgive somebody who's wronged you. And you think, I can't do that. Everything in you right now is saying, I don't want to. They don't deserve it. I don't feel like forgiving them. What will you do when the Word of God, the word of the Lord comes to you in this way? Or maybe the word of the Lord, maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you to live a more generous life, to let go of the control that money and stuff and other things have on your life and give more of your life to God. Maybe the word of the Lord has spoken to you of the tithe before, and you know that it's a biblical concept of a way that we support each other and don't let money take over our lives, but you just haven't trusted enough to step into that kind of giving. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's been calling you or your family and you've been thinking, we need to serve more. We need to get beyond our family and do more for our community, but it just feels like there's never enough time. You think, I can't do that, or I'll do that later. What will you do if this is the word of the Lord for you? Maybe in this embattled world, the word of the Lord is telling you to be more humble, to listen more, to let go of being right so that you can deepen relationships with those who see the world different than you do. Maybe that's a struggle. Maybe when you hear an opinion, you can't stop yourself from responding or judging. What will you do now if the word of the Lord to you is to be more humble? Maybe the word of the Lord has come to you and you know you need to make a life change. But you know how hard that path is. Maybe you've tried before. Maybe you know what you'll have to sacrifice. What do you do? What do you do with this word of the Lord when it comes to you? God has a word for you. And the question is, if that word is hard and if it's uncomfortable, will you do it? Or will you say, I hear you, God, but I don't really think I can do that. This is part of our story. This is Jonah's story. Jonah said, I don't want to go there. Right? I don't want to have anything to do with those people. This is a lost cause. So Jonah found a boat and sailed away in the other direction, like as far as he could get in the other direction. Craig Greshel is the pastor of Life Church, and he says, you can always find a boat going in the wrong direction. I like that. Isn't that great? You can always find a boat going in the wrong direction. Right? You hear God, but you're caught in the gossip of friends, and you find yourself going in the other direction. Or maybe you hear God, but the old way you were on seems so much easier, and so you turn and you go back in that direction. Or you hear God, and you start in a direction, but there's conflict. The Word of God calls you into conflict, and we don't like conflict, so it's so easy to turn around and go in the other direction. We're all like Jonah sometimes. We all want to run. The thing is, we can't run forever. A mentor once said to a group that I was with, if we cut ourselves off from the source of what gives life, we'll find ourselves shriveled, dried up, and burned out. Have you ever just felt like life was empty? Have you ever had a time in your life when you just felt like nothing is falling into place, nothing is going right? So many times when I found myself in that place, or as a pastor, when I've had spiritual conversations with those who find themselves dried up or burning out, so often one of the things is that they've drifted away from God, or they're turning and running from what God is really saying in their lives, or I'm drifting away from God or running from what God is really calling me to. So Jonah's story, it may feel familiar to us. And his story of running in the wrong direction, right, is just the beginning of the story. Here's what we learn next. No matter what, God never stops pursuing us. Would you say that with me? No matter what, God never stops pursuing us. God wants our attention. God is trying to get your attention. The next line in Jonah's story, verse 4, is this. All right, so he's called. We know he's running the other way. And then the very next line in the story says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. God has not stopped pursuing Jonah. In the midst of the storm, the crew of the ship, they come and they find Jonah, who's just asleep. And he confesses then to them that the storm's probably my fault. It's probably my God that's doing this. And now God has their attention, and God has Jonah's attention. Right? And even as Jonah is running, this is maybe my favorite part of the whole story. Even as Jonah is running, God is at work. Even when you are running away, God is at work. And here's what happens. The crew, they confront Jonah about what is happening. Right? And when Jonah finally has to face the truth, when he finally has to face it, he is running from God, and what's happening around him is because he is running from God, he does two really important things in the story. Number one, he confesses his belief in the one true God. He says to the sailors, this is my God. This is the one and true God making this happen. Right? And then two, Jonah offers to sacrifice his life for others. He confesses his God, and then he's willing to sacrifice his life for others. And when he has done these two things, something remarkable happens. Those sailors on the ship, they were pagan before. They prayed to all kinds of different gods. But in this moment, as Jonah does these two things, they come to believe in the one God, in Jonah's God. God uses Jonah's confession to convert the shipmates. And then, in a really interesting part of the story, the shipmates, they're really reluctant to throw Jonah overboard. They show a ton of mercy in this story. And And so they try to row to shore. They try and throw off all their valuables. They throw it all into the ocean to try and save Jonah, but none of it works. And that's when Jonah says, you just have to do this. And then they pray to the God of Jonah, and they ask for mercy and forgiveness. Isn't that beautiful? All Jonah had to do was confess God. And then God went to work. So they throw Jonah into the sea, and the storms calm. And then the shipmates pledge their lives to God. All Jonah has to do is share his faith, because God is at work even when he's running. You likely know what happens next. A big fish comes and swallows Jonah. The end. Well, I mean, in any normal story, it would be the end, but this is not a normal story. I mean, how can you survive getting swallowed by a fish in the sea? And yet, there are three sequels to this story, and you're going to have to come back for the next 3 weeks to tune in to each of the sequels. We'll get to those. Today, however, we pause and we reflect on those moments of our lives when we run from God, when we don't listen to God's word as reflected in Jonah. And in the times of life when we are running away or cut off, the storms of life come. The boats of our lives begin to rock and tear apart. And we realize in those moments, don't we, that we need God in our lives. Sometimes it takes the storms of life for us to pay attention. So when the worst thing happens, you're invited not to give up, but to look up. Right? When the storms of life hit and you feel like you can't stay afloat, the question to ask isn't why, God, but where are you, God? Where is God? And when you pay attention in the midst of the storm of life, you'll come to know that God is there and that God has a word for you, because God has something for you to do. God has a person or a people or a city or a group of people for you to impact. And you have a choice. You can keep running away. You can become dried up and burned out. Or you can come back to Jesus, to his word of life given to you, and find the joy of life in God's word. In the storms of life, my prayer is that you may know that God is constantly pursuing you and wants to give you the life of his love in Jesus Christ. I once had a conversation with a food pantry executive who was a lifelong Christian. He'd been in a career in corporate America for 25-plus years, and he said he knew for a long time in his life that he was in the wrong field, but he just couldn't see a way out of it financially. There was always something holding him there. And he said he made a lot of money, but the stress of it all, it took apart his marriage. And after a while, it took apart his relationship with his youngest daughter. As he was sharing with me, he said, then, not too long after his 50th birthday, he said, one weekend he was on a spiritual retreat with his church. And he realized that he had heard a call on his life, really early in his married life, to do something different. But instead of listening, he said he'd been running from it all of this time, making excuses for why he couldn't change course. Right? He couldn't afford it. He didn't have the support structure he needed to make it happen. His family needed the money. It was too late to really change paths in life. All these excuses. But he said that weekend, as he realized how long he had been running, he rededicated his life to God and he said, "I trust you." And then he said 3 weeks later, with the support of his spiritual community, he quit his job. He went to work in the nonprofit world. He said he had to sell his house and he had to learn to live on much less, and his family had to live on much less. But he told me, he said, "In that moment, I found what I had been looking for years. Peace. And a sense of purpose in my life." He said it took some time, but his relationship with his daughter was restored over the next couple of years. He said he and his ex-wife were getting along better than they had since their first year or two of marriage. And I'll never forget what he said last. He said, "I'm so thankful that God didn't give up on me." Isn't that a great thought? I am so thankful that God didn't give up on me. God never stops pursuing you. So let me invite you today to pray with me. And I want to invite you not to let this just be kind of the perfunctory prayer that the pastor sometimes does at the end of his message. I want to invite you to let these next moments for you be holy moments. In fact, if it helps, just to put your hands out and realize that God has something for you to receive. I invite you to put your hands out in front of you. And know that you and God are together in this moment. And maybe you're in the midst of the wrecks of the storm of life right now. And maybe you aren't. And maybe you're running from God in your life right now. And maybe you're not. But let me invite you, just think about, where are you in life right now? How's your relationship with God? And what part of Jonah's story today resonates with you? And then I want to give you these words as a prayer and invite you to make these words your prayer. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. God, forgive us. Forgive me for not taking your word to heart sometimes. Forgive us. Forgive me for the times that I hear your word but don't act. And now I want to invite you to hear this invitation. If you feel like you've been running away from God or drifting away from God, or if you're not sure where you are right now in your spiritual life with Jesus, hear this invitation. God wants you right now just to turn to him. God wants you to turn right now and realize that he sent Jesus, who, like Jonah in the belly of a fish for 3 days, was in death's grip for 3 days, was in the belly of the earth for 3 days and rose again for you. Hear an invitation to know that Jesus is God's way of you knowing that his love is always eternally pursuing you. And all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. Surrender your life to Jesus. And know this. If you're ready today, if you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you today to trust and let God's life pour into you through the Holy Spirit, you're stepping into an eternal promise. You're not going to be the same. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and changed. This is a no turning back moment of the best kind. And if you're ready to be transformed this day, I invite you just to put your hands out and repeat these words wherever you are. Jesus, be my Savior and Lord of my life. Jesus, be my Savior and the Lord of my life. Jesus, speak your word and I will follow. Save me, Lord. Amen.